Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, the past two Saturdays I had the privilege of being with the men and women of the Diocese of Columbus at their annual conference. Here gathered were thousands of parishioners from all over the diocese who had gathered, as they do each year, to engage in spiritual growth, to understand their faith more deeply, and also to prepare themselves to become missionaries, to spread the faith. And as I participated in those events, celebrating Mass, preaching on those occasions, I came back to that second question of the older catechism that I always ask the confirmation candidates when I'm with them: why did God make you? And the answer, of course, is God made me to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him in this world, and to be forever happy with Him in the next. Which is, of course, an answer that is still valuable for us today. For in our Christian life, it is a matter of knowing and of loving and of serving. And there is a particular importance to the order in which these verbs occur in the answer. You cannot love but what you do not know, and you cannot serve adequately what you do not love. Now, on the occasion when I was celebrating Mass with the men's conference, we celebrated the feast of Saint Polycarp. Perhaps you don't know much about him, but he was a bishop of Smyrna back in the second century and had a great deal of influence, not only as a bishop, but as a preacher and teacher of the Christian faith, and lived at a time when suddenly persecution could burst out against Christians. There were times of peace where the Christian church was left to itself to grow and to develop. But on one occasion, there was another persecution of Christians, and on this occasion, St. Polycarp was arrested and brought to trial and did suffer martyrdom. There's an amazing detail about his story, that in fact he was martyred at the age of 86, meaning that he had spent a large number of years among his people, teaching, caring for the members of the church. But even in his old age, he understood that one of the principal aspects of his life was to give witness to the faith. There is a charming story told about his martyrdom, that when he was betrayed by someone as a Christian, a group of soldiers came to arrest him. And when they entered the house where Polycarp was staying, the bishop said to them, "Would you grant me one favor? Would you grant me 1 hour in which I may pray and prepare for what is coming?" And they granted his request, and he said, "Well, while you are waiting for me to accompany you, why don't I have someone serve you something to eat and drink? Because obviously your day has been a long and tiring one." So the guards sat down to enjoy the hospitality of Polycarp until the commander of the troops realized that Polycarp's gentle and concerned approach to the presence of the soldiers may very well convert the soldiers by its kindness and charity. And therefore the commander ordered all of them to hustle St. Polycarp off to the governor, where he would be examined and then condemned. There is a wonderful quality to the story of his martyrdom. In fact, an eyewitness recorded the story of the martyrdom, and it became something of a bestseller in the second century. Polycarp met his martyrdom in the year 155. And you would expect a certain quality of drama to the event. But throughout, Polycarp very simply witnessed to his faith. He answered the questions of the governor, who called upon him to recant and to save his life. And on one occasion, Polycarp simply said to the governor, "For the past 86 years, God and his son Jesus Christ have been extraordinarily good to me. Why would you call me to renounce them after all the good that they had done?" And in this simple statement of faith, rather moved the crowd that heard it. Polycarp had earlier written a letter to the Christian church at Philippi. And in that letter, he spoke about how Christians should live, how they give witness to their faith. And again, there is a serene quality to his advice and leads to a point that I want to make. But first, listen to the exhortation of Polycarp in his letter. He said to his fellow Christians, "The apostles' hearts were not set on this world of ours, but on him who died for our sakes and was raised up again for us by God. Stand firm, therefore, in these ways, taking the Lord for your example. Be fixed and unshaken in your faith. Care for one another with a brother's love, and make common cause for the truth." What a marvelous description of everyday Christian life: to be unshaken in faith, care for one another, and have a deep hunger for the truth. And the point I want to make, especially as we are called upon to realize our responsibility to evangelization, to the preaching and the spread of the gospel, that it is really in the small ways of our living our faith that we are sometimes most effective. I think of a sermon that the Blessed John Henry Newman preached back while still an Anglican and teaching at the University of Oxford. He entitled his sermon, "Personal Influence, the Means of Propagating the Gospel." And the point of that sermon was to convince people that it is the simple witness of a good Christian life that is often the greatest sermon that you preach. For unless individuals see in another the living gospel, the way in which the gospel of Jesus Christ has changed and directed a life, the words of sacred scripture remain simply words on a page. And it is in the actual exemplification of the words of Jesus that becomes so effective a means of spreading the gospel. John Henry Newman also wrote in that sermon, "Holiness of life is absolutely irresistible. A simple desire to follow God, to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ, to do the good to others and to give true worship, That life and that thirst for holiness is in itself a great act of missionary zeal. Remember what St. Teresa of Calcutta once said. Especially when people would come to her thinking they were going to do large and magnificent things, and sometimes she had to turn these people desirous of joining her back to their homes and said to them, first of all, be Christ in your home, where you are. And she said, so much of our Christian life is doing small things with great love. And I think we have to avoid the temptation of underestimating the power of the simple things in living and giving witness to the faith. And we begin, as the Catechism tells us, by knowing God. That is, remembering what Jesus had said and done. Being very clear about him in the life of Jesus as he lived it here on this earth, there was that strong association between words and deeds. His parables became miracles in words, and his miracles became parables in act. And in those very simple ways, Jesus began to transform the world about him. And we remember that. A second way that I think we might, in fact, express that missionary zeal in our lives is to live the message where we are. We don't have to live in a particular place or move to a new area, but it is where we are that we begin to give witness to the faith. And to follow the admonition of St. Peter in his letter, when he said to his fellow Christians, be always ready to give an account of what we believe. And to give it with a persuasive love, not shouting or screaming, but rather simply, quietly telling people what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, how he has called us to live, and invite others to share in that joy and in that hope. We also find remarkable in the life of St. Polycarp an extraordinary sense of the gift that he received of our faith from another. He was a follower of St. John the Evangelist, in fact becoming only the second generation from Jesus to receive the gospel message. And the fact that he had been given so great a treasure led St. Polycarp to believe that one of the most important aspects of his discipleship was to ensure the handing on of the faith to a new generation. In fact, that is the meaning of the Latin phrase traditio, that is tradition. He felt a very deep responsibility not only to give thanks for what he had received, but also to commit himself to handing it on, unblemished and entire, to a new generation. And in fact, isn't this one of the primary responsibilities of parents, to hand on that faith? And so often it is not simply the matter of teaching, but of living the faith. Just yesterday, I had the privilege of celebrating the funeral mass for Monsignor Romano Ciottola. And I told the congregation in my homily that in my last conversation with him, he said something that touched me very deeply. He described how his father, in war-torn Italy and the kind of confusion that followed, welcomed refugees from the war-torn areas into his home, where he gave them shelter and gave them food. And Monsignor Ciottola then said to me, "I believe it is the example of my father that was the beginning of my priestly vocation. That extraordinary, simple handing on of witness to the faith." But I think finally, and again, this is something that one finds when one reads the story of the life and death of St. Polycarp, was the looking forward, a constant sense of the future we will have in Jesus Christ when he comes again, when there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and the glorious vision of God will be with us all. And this is, I think, one of the most important aspects of that account of the transfiguration of Jesus before those chosen disciples, when, in fact, the glory that Jesus contained, the glory of God himself, was shown to his disciples, opening their eyes to this vision, to this future. And I think Christians, especially as they feel that responsibility to live and to spread the faith, always have to keep looking forward to that goal, to that promise of Jesus, to the eternal joy and peace that we are called to enjoy, that will be the reward and the everlasting reward of a life of faithfulness lived here and now.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.